the fastest, quickest, smoothest footwork. He is the Fred Astaire of jiu-jitsu, the Fred Astaire of judo, but he's the Dom DeLuise of pizza eating. I don't get it. I don't get this.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late. Now everybody. Wake up late. Everybody. Wake up late. Wake up late.
Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs and now you know.
We're the hottest show in
wake
this place.
Wake up late now everybody.
Wake up late
now everybody.
Wake up late
now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now. Let's start the show.
Thank you, Elgin. Hey, everybody. What's up? How are we doing? What's up, Brett?
How's it going, Dougie?
Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show on Tuesday, May 19th. And I'm joined by Brett Morris.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we didn't have a live show last week because I needed to upgrade my Google Chrome. We didn't know why it happened. But, you know, when Jay was here, we didn't know why, like, it would not go live. Like, if you were looking at it, you could press the button, go live. You put it over there, it said, no, ain't going to happen.
So now you got Google Gold?
I got Google Chrome Beta.
Ooh.
So I had a, you know, so they have the software for this incredible stuff we have here. I almost didn't do the show today, but I'm like, hey, that's going to be 2 weeks in a row. We're going to lose all 14 of our listeners.
I thought that was because I was the only one that said I could be here.
No, you know, I mean, you know, I mean, you know, he's, I mean, look, he's, but you're holding up. Just, this is like, it's like that moment, you know, when you're on a team and they call you off the bench, you know, because it's the way to do it. You know, when I have fun and
put me in, coach, I'm ready.
Yeah. You know, you're always ready. Anyway, so, but I'm having one of those days because, I had a bout with technology. And, you know, nothing's more frustrating when you have to deal with something where you really have no idea how to fix it.
It could be any of number of things.
Right. Yeah. You know, like for some people, if they had a car issue,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I don't mean nowadays cars are so advanced that.
Yeah. You need a computer to fix most cars now.
Well, they've done it right. You know, the car dealers said that's where they make the money in service.
Yep.
So. Hey, listen, we're going to put all these computer chips in the engine, and we're going to put this little device on one of these things that costs $1,400. So if you get that light on your dashboard, you got to spend $1,400 just to come in and hook it up to they plug it in with an extension cord.
Yeah.
You got to be careful what cars you buy, you know?
Yeah, they got the proprietary system where you have to take it to them and
nowhere else
has it.
And you think that's bullshit until... You end up taking your car to a place like Tires Plus, and they're like, oh, you have to take it to Volvo. Oh, you have to take it to Volkswagen. Oh, you got to take it to Audi. I mean, I realize that. Like, I've owned Audis. I've owned BMWs. And, you know, that's where you want to take it.
Yep.
You know, I'm going to save $15, you know, by bringing it to Fred's garage.
And it's going to leave with duct tape on it.
And his kid's going to take it for a spin every night. Like I did when my dad fixed cars. I shared that on the show. Yeah.
That's how it is at my job. We're a Suzuki dealership, and when we program motors, like we used to just install things, hook them up.
Yeah.
But now there's a computer program to initialize, is what it's called.
Mm.
So you have to have that software, and you can't get it unless you're a Suzuki dealership.
Well, see, there you go. Mm-hmm. There is the the key.
Everything's the digital, fly-by-wire, they're calling it now.
Hey, what's up, Deborah? Curtis, hope you're well. Tim Barrington, welcome to the show. Thanks for watching, guys. And Deborah, got to bring you back. We want to hear more about sex toy parties. What's up, Javi? Yeah, buddy. And by the way, if you are listening to this podcast and ever watching it, you go to Wake Up Late with Dougie Show fan page on Facebook where when we do air it, you can catch it after. But we go live on my Facebook page at Dougie Almeida. Don't friend me to do that. Just come to my fan. Can they do that, right?
You don't need any more fans?
No, I don't. You know, I'm happy. I'm not on Facebook. I'll be honest with you. I'm not on Facebook much.
I'm at the point where I feel like it's just too much work to mute everybody for 30 days. I might just leave.
The snoozing. I see somebody snooze. And I'm like, what?
I'm like, why don't I just not be on Facebook?
This is like watching, we watch the Game Show Network because there's nothing on TV. So my wife loves Family Feud. So we're watching that. But the problem with some of these cable channels, you watch and then you got like 14 minutes of commercials. And the commercials aren't like, you know what I mean? You get to hear about the hat that has red violet light so you don't go bald. You know, I hope I don't ever see that commercial again with that guy who's like, I love you, Dad. What? I did that joke, by the way, the other night. We got to perform for the first time in 2 months, and you were there.
Yeah, Miami.
And it basically was in a parking lot. And the stage was actually it's probably somebody's raft from Cuba at some point. It was a piece of plywood.
I think it was an art project, and they just laid it on its side.
It was an unfinished project. Uh-huh. But, you know, listen, I was just so happy to do it. And
people were there. That
people
was nice.
Were there, and I got to work on some new stuff. And, heck, I was like, I even forgot you. I mean, I was like, oh, you know, it's been 2 months. I'm like, I don't even, you know, you think you remember it. Then you all of a sudden, what was my punchline?
Were you writing a lot during the shutdown?
Yeah, I'm trying.
I didn't want to do anything Corona or isolation related, so I was having so much of a block.
Well, see, that's the problem with it. You can't, to be able, I feel, you in order to be creative, you cannot be like...
Rule out topics.
Or like hindrances, you know, you have to... It's like brainstorming, you know, it's like telling people they should drink Lysol. You know, it's all brain, like you have to just, when you have to come up with ideas, you just got to come up with them as crazy as they are, you know, and that's it. You don't, I don't want to say that because a lot of people were saying, I don't want to do Corona jokes. And of course we get
basically every angle it's been covered.
But that's the thing. Comedy's almost like that. So to me, it's still a challenge. I'm still want to do some jokes, but I want to find a way to do it where you didn't even know it was a coronavirus joke. You know, I mean, I have a simple joke. I posted it as a dose of Dougie on my Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. One of the jokes was, boy, I can tell you one good thing that came out of COVID-19 is that it's going to be really hard for any kid to ever put their parents in a nursing home again. You know what I mean? Nursing, you know what I mean? Like, think about it. Parents,
don't you love me?
No. And that was my joke. And I go, listen, I have a surefire way of never having my children ever put me in a nursing home. And that's, I didn't have any kids. That's right. That's my joke.
That's good.
So is that a COVID-19 joke? I don't know. It's a family joke. But then I got I wrote a joke about why I don't have kids. Mm-hmm. And it relates to getting kicked in the balls, earning those things, you know. But it was funny. Like when, all right, this is a common premise. Like every time I seem to go eat spaghetti or something messy, I'm always wearing a white shirt. Mm-hmm. Right, you know, yep. I'm not thinking about it. I'm like, good time to eat clams.
Right.
So, it's true. As a martial artist, the days you forgot your cup in sparring classes was a day that you got kicked in the nuts. You know what I mean? You can have it for weeks. You forget it that day. You never get kicked in the nuts for weeks. You forget your cup. You know, Jose from Pan American team. I can still remember the last time I got kicked in the nuts. I can still remember it. I'm in.
You still remember his name?
I remember the guy's name. I think I remember his tall kid, younger kid. He was from Pan American. He was a Panamanian kid, tall kid. And he was in the Pan American Games. So he was a pretty good fighter, third degree black belt. Mm-hmm. And we're sparring, and he did a jump back kick when I was coming in. He did a jump back kick right into my balls. And if you know martial arts, a jump back kick is basically when you turn around, you kick like a mule with your heels straight out with all the turning power of your hip right into my balls.
Yeah, go to a blood sport at about the 29-minute mark. You know, about there, right there.
There you go. Go check it out.
Right before the kumite.
So I got, you know, so I think this is a funny story. So I figured that's when you talk about writing.
Yeah.
So as I was thinking about this stuff, I just let it go. And so it ties in with why I don't have kids. It could be possibly. Mm-hmm. And it ties in why I'm not going to go to a nursing home. And it ties in with our current day reflection of nursing homes.
Anytime you can tie that many things together, that's definitely a plus.
Yeah, somebody's getting
like airline food has probably been covered so many different ways, but if you can still come up with a great topic or a great way to spin it, well, that's here's still funny.
Here's the problem with that joke. There is no more airline food, okay? Nobody's, and if they do, it's in a box.
Unless you're going on like international trips.
Yeah, you know, I think it's funnier when people bring their own food. And it smells up the whole cabin.
Come with like a bag of bread and
yeah, you know they have a 4-course meal. Like when I eat, I like to have some sort of stability. Unless I'm eating something like chicken finger. You know, if you're sitting at a table and you're eating chicken fingers, you don't need a fork. You don't need a knife. You just need to have the ability to stick it in your mouth.
Yeah, that's why pizza is the best food ever.
It is, and tacos.
It's easy. You throw it in the oven. You leave. You come back. You don't need any silverware. If you're not clumsy, you don't need napkins.
You got to try to get me hungry. Is it?
Yeah. You want to go get a pizza?
When I get pizza now, my wife has to approve it.
Oh.
Because
pizza probation?
My pizza nights are rationed. You know, I don't know.
That's your cheat day?
And when we do, we usually go to Sicilian Oven in Coral Springs.
Ooh, that's so good.
I
got one in Pompano.
Oh, yeah.
Those oven baked wings. Oh, they're so
they're good. Delicious. And I get the chicken Reggiano.
Mm,
you ever have that pizza?
I haven't had that one.
The chicken Reggiano. By the way, go to Sicilian Oven and say you heard it from the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. And they'll go, who?
Do a Wake Up Late with Dougie for a promo code. Get 20% off your order.
Yeah, and then the people, that's what we should do. That's how marketing should work. Yep. You actually get people to go there and say that. And they're like, and I come
well,
in
now,
and I'm
now we have to give them
yeah, a like, little hey, kickback. Wow, we got people coming in. Well, I talk about your pizza all the time. Mm-hmm. I'll give you $100. All right.
And then for the next time I come in here, there's a pizza waiting for us.
That's right. Yeah. But the chicken Reggiano is delicious. Like you said, oven thin crusted. Mm-hmm. And when we say oven, like oven baked pizza, it's so hot. And it's just so cavernous in an oven that everything is crispy. Everything is just like, you know what I mean? It's dry. It's not like moist. You know, and
there's a little bit of burn on the crust, but it's still delicious even if you eat it.
Yeah, because it's a high stove and, the heat kind of hit. But it's still dry. Not like the opposite would be a microwave. You know, you put something in a microwave, it just sucks
it's wet and soggy.
Yeah, it's like eating a sponge with cheese.
My favorite is the Captain. It's the all meats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Christopher, thanks for joining us, Chris Gilbert. And I'm glad you're enjoying it, Deborah. Again, you got to participate on Facebook Live. Mm-hmm. By the way, Facebook has a new thing, the new rooms. I don't know.
I haven't tried it yet.
I was thinking about maybe we should start doing the show that way and even do it almost like a Zoom thing.
Give it a test run.
Yeah, we're going to.
I've been seeing the avatars.
Fucking avatars. I mean, come on.
All you people with your
avatars. I want to look different. That's just people who are ugly.
I want to look like a cartoon.
It's actually people that look people who are ugly that want to somehow look better. And people who are good looking who just so want, they want to look at themselves so much. And I want to see another version of me.
Well, it seems like the pose that all of them doing is a little bit, hey.
Yeah. Well, it's all part of the gay agenda. The avatar is to turn everybody gay.
They're trying to co-opt everybody.
Yeah, they want everybody to be tinkle-toed. That's the big objective. So where were we? Food and everything. I don't know.
Facebook.
So I can announce it now, but as of today, I am a member of a new firm. I mean, I still have my company, my practice, but
Viagra.
I'm a financial advisor. So the broker dealer is new. I have a whole new. I have the same office, just the letterhead, and things are changing. But with that comes technology. So I had to update all my email system, my client management system, and I thought it could be seamless, and it wasn't seamless. You know, you think, you do things saying, I'm going to buy this software, I'm going to do these things so that if this ever does occur, I want it to be seamless. And what do I mean by seamless, everybody? What's up, Perry Sack? Perry Sack, what do I mean by seamless?
He means between the balls and the taint.
Perry's
seamless.
Perry's going to be like, it means when you pull your zipper down, you don't get your dick stuck in your zipper. I do a horrible Perry Sack.
So does Perry Sack.
Yeah. So seamless means it's like you go from one step to the other. You don't break stride. You don't slow down. You don't get all messed up. You know, you seamless. I move on over and it's good.
But all of a sudden you didn't have the new operating system and the charger doesn't work with the new phone.
Yeah. Well, so that's what I dealt with today. And the stress of it, because, again, when you want to get something done and you can't get it done. and you're sitting in your office at a place where you're supposed to be getting something done, because the first thought I had was I'm going home.
You didn't think to put a little whiskey in your coffee cup first?
See, I don't have, that's not my, yeah.
No?
No. I mean, I don't even have any smoke. If I was home, I would have went out back and, you know, figured out a way. Then I would definitely not come back to work.
That's the modern man's way.
Yeah. I may have come home if I actually had that at home. That may have been the feather on the camel's back that would have made me go, I'm going home.
Back when things were open, I used to do that. When people at work were pissing me off, I'd go over to Chili's down the street,
yeah.
Have a drink at like 11 a.m.
Yeah.
When they first opened, and come back with a reset mind.
Yeah.
Get ready to get back at it.
Well, and I used to work in the banks,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, and you have one of those days, it's just nuts, and you're stressed and everything. Mm-hmm. You go to like a Fridays, you go to one of those local places,
yep.
And you just have a couple,
mm-hmm.
you know.
It just puts you back in a better mood. Let you wipe away the first half of the day.
It's a reboot. Yeah. You know? It's almost like, all right.
Control, alt, delete.
Enough. It's enough of that. So tomorrow I'm going back in and to see what I can do. But a lot of, you know, and you asked me because I remember the old days when I would, a couple times I changed firms, you had to mail stuff to people and everything. Now they have this thing called DocuSign.
Yeah.
You ever hear of this? DocuSign? Yep. It's amazing because, like, if I have to send something to somebody, you know, one of the things I've done with my business is I didn't want to have a bunch of 90-year-olds, as your clients. You know, it's not a good idea.
Thanks to COVID, you won't.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not a nursing home, right? I'm not AARP. I'm not a reverse mortgage company. So I want to have younger people so I can help them get through stages of life, yep. and mm-hmm. be the person there for. So, for the most part, most of my clients have computers. You know, they have emails and stuff, mm-hmm. and things like that. But, you know, if you're living in this day and age and you want to be seamless in life, you want to have, like, the least amount of problems, then I suggest you get a really good printer, a really good home computer. That no matter what, you can turn it on. It's not your laptop. The mess. And then you get a scanner.
Should be in the printer.
Usually they come together. You can get a print. I would say don't worry about the fax. I always love when somebody at Best Buy goes, this is a da-da-da and a fax machine. I go, dude, you idiot. You should be working at Radio Shack. How dare you? Fax.
What, do I hook it into my landline?
This is the day of, this is the age of digital. What is that called? The pixels? We're in a pixel age. So you got to have a computer, you got to have a print, because that way you could be, anybody in the world could say, hey, I'm going to send you something. I need you to sign it.
Yep.
But now with DocuSign, all you need is a computer. And I don't know if you could do it on the phone, abilities and the cookies and the all that nonsense, but if you have a computer and they basically say, and it's cool because when you get these documents, I've got them for my tax accountant. I've done it through a few other sources, like a PDF. Boy, this is like the technology show with Dougie today. but you get an email, there's a little thing there. It says a PDF. You click on it, and it's a picture or a document. So you look at it, and so you get it, and when you open it, there's like a little, it looks like one of those sticky notes. You know, when you get a piece of paper, you send it to somebody, they got to sign it. You say, sign here, you know.
Got one of those little sticky flags on
it. Right, it's kind of half, see it. It's a little differentiation of everything else. So you sign here. It's like that on the computer, and when you click on it, you guess what happens? All of a sudden, these images of like, kind of may look like your signature.
Ooh.
You know, some of them look like...
You get to pick your own handwriting?
This one looks like it was done in the wrong, like left-handed. Yeah, this one looks like the guy had been drinking. And the good thing about that is it's not my actual signature. Yeah. So they verify it through the sources of how you did it. The beauty of something like DocuSign, in a sense, is the almost like like with Bitcoin, it's almost the
encryption
method that it takes, along with everything, it kind of codes and the timing and everything you're doing and where from all the way down to your
location,
your computer location. That's how they verify shit. But bottom line is, you don't have to sit there and print it.
So I don't have to send them a picture of my dick. They just ask that.
That's
for
optional.
Weird?
Oh. That's optional.
I feel violated now.
What's up, everybody? Anyway, so. I had to deal with that, and it's frustrating, and I got a little more frustration, but it's just like a move. Here's the thing, though. Technology makes a lot of things easier like that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, otherwise, you'd have to send a letter.
makes a lot of other things harder too.
You have to send the letter. You're like, yep. I got to send you a letter, and that's why, you know, FedEx and overnight's like, oh my god, remember when that came out? Mm-hmm. Oh, I could get it. I can get a letter to somebody in a day. Holy,
it only cost me $80.
Yeah, and then the emails happen, and they can, you know, oh, I could send the letter. But that's why the gig, like the dealerships. Oh, we have this proprietary software to, you know, other people are like, well, we need a wet signature. And, you know, for the most part, when it comes to important documents, wet signatures are probably the way to go. Well,
I like that it has a specific name now, a wet signature. Yeah. Sounds dirty.
It's like, you know, there's some guy sitting in a boardroom going, what can we call this?
Mm-hmm. Sounds like something you would write at Wuhan for a check, a wet signature.
Hey, by the way, speaking of that, China's on shutdown again. Is this that's again? Something new? They're showing certain areas.
You mean they were lying the whole time? Oh my god.
And without getting too political, it is interesting because I am of the feeling, and I am preparing myself as a self-preservationist would. I am preparing myself for any potential crazy chaotic situation that can happen at any time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people are ready to lose it, and I'm one of them. I almost lost it today. But I'm just saying that, you know, Don't be walking around. If you're walking around just complaining about everything, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's going to make you a statistic. I have no doubt that we're almost going to be moments away from somebody just doing something really crazy, like taking a beach umbrella and shoving it right up somebody's ass. You know what I mean? On the beach, or you know what I mean? It's going to be like,
come on, that's how they interrogate people in New York. With a broomstick.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be like the gay guy in Sopranos when they caught him. You remember? Did you see that? You ever see
I remember the episode where they found him in a gay club and he was like, come on, man. Isn't this weird? I had to come here? Oh, man. I'm so glad you guys are here. This is so weird.
He goes, it's a joke, guys. It's a joke. There's a weird scene when
like, what the fuck you doing here?
I forgot his name. He's like, whoop, whoop. He's like, And then the other guy's like, who are these guys? really, it was always Finch, right? Was Tony Soprano's daughter was dating a kid, Finch. They called him Finch, a skinny kid, long hair. She was dating him, and he was working at that construction site, and he got in there early, and he caught that guy blowing the security guard. The security guard just sitting in his truck, like a little pickup truck with his head back, and all of a sudden the fat, you know, mafia guy sticks his head up. Boy, I played that role pretty good there for a minute.
It's almost like you've done that before.
Yeah, I've looked like I'm being typecast.
You are a great actor.
I'm telling you, I miss it. I've had a conversation with people like I almost, comedy's weird. Like we are seeing. Mm-hmm. By the way, Miami Improv is opening.
When's that? June.
There's going to be a show this weekend. Cisco, Gene Harding, Will Lopez. I'm not on it. But they're going to do, you know, spacing, you know, social distancing, and
doing like every other table, or
I would imagine
everybody has to go with a bag over their head.
You got to have, yeah, you know, or have
are people going to be laughing out loud with the mask over their face? That seems weird. Are you guys going to be able to see it and react to it?
Yeah, you can't even tell if they're laughing or they're throwing up. Well, it's good to see, you know, and like I said, it felt good when we went out just to friggin' tell some jokes, get back in the rhythm.
Like maybe 10 out of the 20 people that were there maybe had a mask with them.
Well, the funny thing was this place we went to in Wynwood on Saturday, right?
Yep.
I'm concerned. I was a little upset because my stage time was at 6:20 or something. And I got there at like 6 and there was like nobody there and the mics were just being set up. And the Cuban raft was put down as a stage. it's crazy. So I am. And I'm thinking, oh, but I went into that restaurant because that's where Sean and
the
John Loveless were at. Mm-hmm. They're in there, and I'm like, and you go, there's a sign out front that says, gotta be wearing a mask. You gotta be wearing a mask if you come in this, right?
Sign.
It's like a big sign. And I had my mask, and I walk in with the mask. I don't know, there's like 20 people in this place, a lot of Hispanic people around the bar, at the table eating with family. John and Sean, and I think Sean's girlfriend, were sitting at the high top table, and I'm the only one with a mask.
You feel like an asshole when you walk in?
Are you kidding? I felt like I was going to die. I thought, oh my God, I can almost see these little like mothballs flying into my mouth. Oh, these Corona, like Corona. Do you see the story? I don't know if you saw this. There was a story I was looking at that they think it's a sign of God, but somewhere up north there was hailstones shaped like coronavirus.
Oh my God.
They're like, this is it. This is the sign. But I'm telling you, man, people need to be prepared because shit's going to hit the fan. I'm glad, like Tim mentioned, I'm glad that we are fucking not putting up with China and they're bringing it back down. You know, the more I read about this and the more I look into things financially and things, they cannot. They have too many people to piss off in that country, right, before it becomes a major issue. Right? People talk about how strong they are, but if you all of a sudden that big engine shuts down and they lose us and what we do, and all us money, you know, buying, purchasing, this big, you know, I gotta have it.
You can have the most totalitarian state ever, but if your villagers outnumber you and they show up to your palace doors.
Look what happened in Hong Kong.
Yeah, if your villagers show up to your palace door with pitchforks, you might just adopt the, you might say, hey, I think we're going to do plan A. Whatever they were saying.
Yeah, Tim Barrington says, all good, bro. This shall pass. Fuck China. Off the Hook Naples open Thursday through Sunday. Yeah, I saw that show. So if you're in Naples, I got shows. I got to hit them up, see if I can get some stage time.
As a financial guy, what would your thoughts be on... There's talk about we need some sort of reparations for if China actually did it and defaulting on the debt that we owe to China.
So much there, I can't even, you know. If it was their fault...
And they are responsible for it getting over here, and we owe them all this money, and they need to pay us for some sort of reparations or a fee for doing this, shutting down our economy for whatever.
The problem is, in anything like that, if they do that, then it slows down any other purchasing. China slowed down the purchasing of treasury bonds years ago, and a lot of people thought that was going to be a big issue, but it turned out insurance companies, banks... And a lot of other people were buying it up. So they were taking, like, in other words, that they thought, hey, we'll get you. We'll just stop buying your debt. I mean, the Federal Reserve started buying a lot of its own debt. But again, as it's turning into a fucking podcast.
Win Ben Stein's money.
Yeah, win Ben Stein's money. there's a lot of ways. You know, they offered $20 billion or $200 billion, whatever it was, to help with the... With the situation recently,
China did?
Yeah, today they announced they want to do something to help with, you know, but they're throwing, you know, nothing at it. It's like $20 billion.
We're throwing $2 trillion a week?
$10 trillion so far, by the way. And you know what? No more. My wife got her unemployment. She got another check. I actually went on there today, and I said she's working, but she goes back to work on Thursday. So we are not scruffs, you know, next week, I'm not going to say, no, she's working. I'm going to send it in. She's working now. We got our money. That's all we need. I've heard some people say, I'm not going back to work because I'm getting more. And I'm like, see, that is why we pay a lot for everything, is because people take it in this country, the lack of self-discipline.
Taking advantage of
the system. And listen, we're not, they'll be, what about it? Listen, there's a lot of countries, but we should be, like, you talk about how the president should talk smarter. You talk about how people should be doing things. Look at we, the people, how we handle it. For the most part, we're a bunch of scumbags. You know, people used to talk about that with, like, insurances. They used to say, oh, you know, why am I paying so much for my homeowner's insurance and this and that? You want to know why you're paying so much for your homeowner's insurance? Because when, like, Hurricane Andrew blew through Florida in the 80s and people rebuilt their fucking houses on insurance fraud cases. Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, we don't need this. We're going to do this. And, just a little. We ain't cheating. Look, that's what happens. Thank you. That's the Florida governor calling me right now to thank me.
Thank you, Dougie. You solved the problem.
Yeah. We do have a lot of death today, by the way, in our stories. I was going through the stories. And I was realizing they were a bit morbid. You know, there's some morbidity in our stories. But they're funny.
I love it.
But we won't get there yet. But I'm saying they're funny. You know what I mean? So... that's why I'm saying it's all cultivating together. You know, hailstones looking like coronavirus, you know. I am glad my wife's going back to work. She's a hairdresser, so the salon opens up again on Thursday. She goes back to work. Now, you know, at first I'm happy for her because I know, I got to go to my office a few days a week. It's a change of scenery at least, but it's still not. A chain, but it's not the same thing every day.
It's nice to be nice cooped up.
Yeah. Yeah. You take walks and shit. You got to keep your sanity. But, you know, at least by going back to work, A, you're different scenario, other people, B, you're actually doing something. You're taking your time to do what you do, your creativity. People, that's what I'm saying. In some of these places, now, you know, I think here we seem to be all right. I don't know. I keep hearing three stories, different stories. It's getting worse. A lot of the things are cases are blah, blah, blah. And then I hear, no, it's not any different than we can handle it kind of thing. But I don't, I'm at that point right now. I'm so sick of watching the fucking news that I don't even want to watch the news. So, but I am, I have to watch the news. I'm
bound, of course.
I'm bound to watch the news. So there's a lot of death. Hey, you know what I was thinking? I gotta look through my spare room because my brother needed to get, he's looking for some old photos, like back when we were kids. And I don't know about you, did your parents take photos and stuff? You have like a lot of family photos in your family?
Actually, one of my uncles actually saved it when my mom died. My dad just started throwing shit away.
Really?
Yeah, my uncle worked at the dump and he found all this stuff and he was like, these are your photos and your mom's old pictures. So without him, a lot of that shit would be gone.
Really? So yeah. So you're just coincidentally, a friend of the family worked at the dump?
Mm-hmm.
Or they went to the dump because they heard
No, he worked at the dump.
And he was just walking around work one day and going, holy shit, that's my friend.
He saw my dad's vehicle, dump a bunch of stuff.
Oh, okay.
And he's working, like, I guess the bulldozer to push everything over. And he's like, what are these? And it's like pictures in frames.
Wow.
Yeah. And he just happened to grab a few things, and a box had just old pictures in it.
And that's all you got?
Yeah. Whatever didn't get, whatever he salvaged, that's what we got. Wow.
Because, you know, my parents were not very organized, so, like, we never had photo albums. They tried it a couple times. You know,
they took them and they didn't albumize them?
Yeah, my mom would never take, she would want to, I'll take a photo, you know, but she would not, like, organize them. You know, just keep going and shit. So it's funny, there's not one complete photo album ever in my family's history.
Hmm.
Not one. My wife and our family, yes, we have about 4 or 5 photo albums. But then, of course, the age of digital came in, and we don't have photo albums anymore. You can just put them on a flash drive.
The Almeida history is missing, like, a legacy?
Well, you know, I mean, listen, here's the thing. A friend of mine brought this up. If you want to go through some old photos, don't do it with a new girlfriend. I mean, that has got to be the stupidest. You know, even now, my wife and I, we've been together for a quarter of a century. There's photos from before her.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only place that we'll see any evidence of me and another woman. And here we are.
Why do you still have those, Doug? What are you looking at them when I'm not around? Like, Jesus Christ, lady.
Donna Kelly says, come back to Columbus, Georgia. I will look forward to it, Donna, and I can't wait. Trust me, that's a great room, the Loft in Columbus, Georgia, the Comedy Zone room. great room. So she never saved. So there's a box.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a box, and I imagine the box is in that room in the closet. I haven't seen the box in many years. But, you know, in the old days when we were kids.
We're still talking about the pictures, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. So, you know, we never had, again, no photo album, just a box with the pictures of an old, like a box you would put, you know, like a big box. I don't know. Like you would put like a small
huge,
refrigerator.
A huge box.
Well, no, we're not talking about it. Yeah. But, you know, and there was never any store. So you go, and so if you ever want to look at pictures, you'd grab the box and just kind of pull them out and start flipping around like playing cards. Which was kind of fun, too.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I mean, how fun is it going to be? You look at an album. Oh, you know.
Yeah, reminiscent.
And then the problem with the album is they actually protect the picture and they get hazy. And then the album turns into shit. And you're not going to take pictures out of an album and put them in another album. That is not seamless. So all these pictures, and don't look at them with a new girlfriend.
No.
Just because there's always going to be that one photo of that hot girl, like that's the worst. If you had hot,
your listen, old
if you,
prom
if,
date,
if you had ugly girlfriends, go ahead and show them because then the girl's gonna be like, oof, "Boy, you move you."
Or
you
or show them to her. That way, she has to step up her game.
Well,
like, see what I can get. You got
no, because
you gotta
that's
let her
the
work
past.
No, nope.
Yeah, you know, especially nowadays. Oh yeah, of course you got her when you were 25 and you were benching 380.
No, it's not because of how I looked. It's because I was charming. I can still do that. I'm still charming.
You're not gonna win that battle, bro.
All right. That I can try
it. That is not good advice to any man listening. But yeah, if you had ugly girl, you know. But if you had that hot one, any rate. So we never put it out, and I got to go look to those photos.
Nowadays, the old albums are just computers you have stashed in the closet.
Yeah, like in this, I got two or three laptops in there.
I've got old computers that probably have a lot of good pictures on them. Just
yeah.
Haven't turned them on in years.
You know, a lot of these laptops have a lot of these rare earth elements in them.
Yeah.
Some of these people, you take them, you know, as long as they're
cleaned
out. They'll strip them out, and you get some money for it. I don't know how much money. It's like when you used to take bottles when you were a kid, collect bottles. We did that when I was a kid. We used to, my friends would make money. We'd go to these construction sites and get the old Pepsi bottles.
Like $5, 5 cents a bottle.
Yeah, something like that. Next thing you know, you got like $4. You know, after spending the whole day out in the sun getting sun cancer and putting your fingers into rusty nails and then getting a tetanus shot.
You got to sell it to the guy that steals catalytic converters.
Oh, God. What a life. Any rate. You guys are great. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, so why not?
And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's Straight from the Headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Thank you, Peter. Peter Leonard, everybody, who's a walking spokesman for, what's that, Around the Clock Air. Funny billboard Around the Clock Air. Your wife's hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She gets your air conditioner fixed.
Yeah.
ATC.
Great advertising, as they say. Our first story, so I was talking to somebody recently about the act of spitting on someone. Okay. Would you rather be punched by somebody or spit on by someone?
Are we talking pre-COVID or now?
Well, however we, you know, obviously now, it's simple. I'd rather be punched.
Probably like a year ago, I had somebody spit on me.
Really?
In a traffic incident.
Where'd it land?
It probably the side of my head, little side of my cheek.
Yeah.
Like he went like this, and I went like that, and it hit me right there near the ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, really? I was waiting for you to throw the first punch, and you spit at me? What, are you a fucking loser?
See, if somebody spits at me, I automatically will retaliate with a bitch slap. It's in the car.
Like, I held my cool. I barely even flinched. Aside from, like, moving my head to the side, I was like, that's all you got?
Yeah. Was it a big guy?
Yeah, he was a little taller than me, but...
All right, but if he was a little guy, you'd probably beat the shit. It's like, you accepted the fact that he spit in your face.
No, I just flicked him off because he cut me off, and then he wanted to get out of the car, so I got off the bike, met him face to face. If he'd have thrown a punch, it'd have gone down.
All right, so he spit at you and walked away from you?
He spit at me. He's like, I just spit on you, and you're not going to do anything? I'm like, why don't you throw a punch?
Well, you know.
I grew up not hitting first. Don't throw the first punch.
Well, so he hits you with a spitball, man. That's a biochemical... That's he could have herpes. He could have AIDS. He could have Ebola.
That was pussy shit.
A UK railway ticket officer worker dies from COVID-19 after being spat on. And she was on her motorcycle too and walked up. And a British railway ticket officer has died from COVID-19 after being spat on while she was working at a Victoria station. Bella Mujinga, 47, was working with a colleague when a member of the public assaulted them, spat and coughed over them, and said he had the novel corona. He said he had COVID. I mean, first of all right, now the guy does that. He says he has it. What do you do?
That's like, I think they are arresting people for that being a terrorist act now. It's knowingly trying to infect somebody with COVID.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
It's attempted murder. It's a deadly weapon.
I've been watching these funny videos of, like, people going up and down escalators.
Right.
And a guy will go, and touch somebody on the other side going down.
Right. That ain't
their reactions anymore. Are fucking hilarious. Because what are you going to jump over the escalator and come up?
Well, some people do. And it's usually the fat Spanish woman who tries to run down the up going, you know, she tries to chase the guy down. And then, you know what I mean? It's funny watching somebody try to go the other way on an escalator.
You watch somebody just run and just, like, they have Lysol wipes in their hand. Yeah. And the guy was like, he just freaked out.
Mujinga, who had an underlying health condition, was working for Govia Thameslink Railway, GTR, otherwise known, on the station concourse at the time. Bailey and her colleague begged to be let to work from inside the building with protective barrier between them and the public, but the rest of the day... TSSA said in a statement that management said they need people working outside the protective barriers and sent them back out onto the concourse for the rest of their shift. See, that's just disgusting. I'm telling you, if somebody spits on me, I'm going to choke them.
Yeah.
I'm choking them and I'm bringing them down to the ground. I'm calling the police.
That's like almost an assault with a deadly weapon right now.
Yeah. Even if he's big, you pussy. It's vulnerable. You don't want to do it. It's disgusting. By the way, speaking of that, here's some other news. You saw this. Trump has taken chloroquine.
Ooh.
As preventive, because Mike Pence and some other people, you know, they said some people around had it. So now I don't know if no one's. Here's the thing interesting. When something like that happens, someone should. Has anybody asked, well, do you have it? Have you tested? I guess he wouldn't be around all these people he had. But, you know, now he's taking it. And the funniest moment that came out of all this is that Nancy Pelosi, you know, that supermodel. You know, Nancy Pelosi, that one that turns all the boys' heads.
Mm-hmm.
She, it was funny. She
that
said
ice that, cream fiend.
Yeah, she. She said that she was funny. It was she was trying to be. She was, you know, you don't. Here's the thing. Why I say things are going to get crazy and even worse is that you know, when people like that start getting nuts, like thinking they're tough, that's when those who are in crazy just say it's time.
The whole facade of dignity has been washed away. Yeah.
You know, and that's what happens. That's when the mob rules. That's when, you know, you don't just flinch at somebody anymore. You punch them. That's where you don't just reach for your gun and brandish it. You put a lot and put a bullet in their head. I watched Joker, the movie Joker. I finally got to see that. Boy, that was a scene when he blew Robert De Niro's head off.
That was fucking interesting.
I'm sorry, spoiler alert, but I'm probably the last person ever watched the Joker. but, you know, and plus, I at this point, with De Niro, is what a douche he's become. You know, so it was, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's manifesting. And, you know, when you got these people who are the players that, you know, they're posers.
Yep.
And all of a sudden they're going to come out and try to be a tough person. Nah, eventually the tide's going to look, it's time to pull out some ass whipping.
She's trying to pretend to be like she was the civil one the whole time. And now she's down. He has brought her down to this level.
Yeah.
And now they're fighting in the mud.
It's funny. And, you know, she says, you know, because he shouldn't do it. He's morbidly obese. and as she's saying that, I'm watching her face melt. And I'm thinking.
She's trying to hold in a laugh.
Yeah. And, of course, whatever the putzy-ass media person just sitting there, you know, giggling or something like that. So. I don't know. It's not.
I'm loving for he always comes back with a better counterpunch.
Yeah,
that's his thing. The counterpunch, and it cuts way deeper. It's gonna be good.
What's up, Marilyn? How are you, dear? Spit on me. That's right, Tim Barrington. You die. Nobody spits on me. do we have no viewers? That's horrible. Anyway, next story. Florida teen accidentally runs over, kills dad while learning how to park the truck. I guess we know why dad doesn't want to help the kid fucking learn how to drive.
Maybe let him start in a car next time.
Yeah. Says here, a Florida teen learning to drive accidentally mowed down her dad or her woman driver.
Mm. Ooh. You really can't teach him anything.
No. As he was teaching her to park his pickup truck, Tarpon Springs police said 15-year-old's dad got out of his Ford F-150 Corona to let her practice pulling into a parking space.
And let me guess, he was standing in it trying to back her up.
Yeah. Keep coming.
It's the long one on the right, honey. Hurry up.
But as he stood in front, the girl unintentionally, supposedly, hit the accelerator while the vehicle was still in drive.
That's how you park. You have to.
Well, old people do it all the time. They think they're putting the car in reverse and they have it in drive and then they press the gas and drive right through the subway. The truck then jolted forward over a curb and struck the man before hitting a tree.
Oh, she've gassed it.
That's what I'm saying.
Ran over the dad and the tree?
She accidentally did it 14 times. Going on?
I don't know.
I think the Illuminati are catching up to me.
They're coming in to shut you down.
But as he stood in front of the girl and intentionally hit. Okay, anyway, said that when police arrived, the girl was attempting to provide aid to her father, who later died of the injuries.
She said, "Never mansplain to me again, Dad."
Yeah, don't ever tell me how to drive again. A jet doing the flyover to salute frontline workers crashes, killing one. See, it's a lot of death. This is the Canadian Air Force. The equivalent
this was in
the
U.S., okay.
Yeah, this is the equivalent of the Canadian Air Force, the Americans, you know,
we were
Thunderbirds.
Better than that.
Well, listen, it's Canadian, that's why.
Yeah, I was like, we're better than that. How did we crash?
Oh, I crashed, eh? At least one person was killed and another seriously injured when a Canadian Snowbird's jet crashed. See, anything that's a jet called Snowbird crashed into a house, causing a fire. The Royal Canadian, actually, it was the same house where the guy was trying to help his daughter park the car. It was a complete mess up.
The pilot was very apologetic, though.
Yeah. The Snowbird's aerobatic team was doing a flyover of the region as part of Operation Inspiration to salute frontline workers. I guess we had to put a few more to work that day. Thank you. The city of Kamloops said the aircraft crashed at 11:40 a.m. right on a man masturbating and promising he'd never do it again. Shortly after it crashed shortly after takeoff at Kamloops Airport, just 260 miles northeast of Vancouver, for those of you with an atlas or a globe in front of you.
So he crashed into a moose.
Yeah.
That's all that's up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, somebody died. Well, I don't know. You would think the pilot would have got out. This guy's like a Top Gun guy. You would think he would have...
He'd have ejected.
Yeah, hit the eject button. Witnesses told the news that the jet was following another jet when it appeared to veer upward and circle the tarmac before going into a nosedive.
Hmm.
Well, the one plane continued and the other one was a ball of fire, the witness said. No noise. It was strange. It's a stealth plane. It crashes and no one knows.
Goodness gracious. It was a great ball of fire?
Yeah. Ross Miller, who lives directly across the street from where the plane crashed, told the news that in the early 70s, a couple in their early 70s live in the home. It's actually all fucked up in this. I don't know why. I have to decipher something you read.
Can't you speak Canadian?
Yeah. A Canadian press person put this together. They were They were injured as the woman was in the basement and the man was behind the house at the time. Jerking off, not telling anybody. The jets had arrived in Kamloops on Saturday. Who cares? Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, you know, the guy who likes blackface, tweeted his condolences and then did an impression of old Mammy. But I was just being Michael Jackson. Well, that was the governor from Virginia.
Northam.
Hong Kong ice cream shop now offers tear gas flavor ice cream to remind people of the pro-democracy demonstrations, which broke out nearly a year ago. Boy, isn't that funny? They had these protests, and then all of a sudden China releases a bioweapon.
The ice cream says it tastes like freedom.
Yes. Hong Kong ice cream shop now offers a tear gas flavor as a reminder of last year's protest. The owner told the news it meant to inspire people to persist and not lose passion for the protests, which are likely to come back in the summer.
And if you put it in your eyes, it reduces the stinging.
Yes, and if somebody's trying to rape you, just throw the ice cream at them.
Now, if you get tear gas in a protest, you put the ice cream on your eyes.
It's multifaceted.
Yeah. Has multiple purposes.
Well, there you go. The owner of the shop, he didn't want to be known. Yeah, well, I guess he...
Well, yeah, he would have been dragged down to the woods and shot.
The owner of the shop, who spoke with the AP anonymously to avoid repercussions, well, you know where the shop is, said the flavor was made to remind people that they still have to persist to protest the movements and don't lose their passion. Yeah, so eat shitty-tasting ice cream. That's what I want to do when I'm bored. Haagen-Dazs. Thank you, Terry Gillespie. I love Haagen-Dazs. What's your favorite ice cream?
Moose Tracks.
Moose Tracks?
Yeah.
Is it really an ice cream?
Yeah, whatever. A couple different brands make it.
You just said moose earlier. That's why with the Canadian thing. So I just wonder if you're having a stroke or something.
Yeah, callback. You don't have moose in China?
I don't know. I don't know if it's indigenous species.
Moose Tracks is basically like vanilla and chocolate ice cream with peanut butter cups.
Mm. Oh, I love peanut. I love chocolate, like chocolate fudge with peanut butter.
Chocolate on chocolate?
Yeah, all chocolate. Mm-hmm. Anita Wong, a customer at the shop. Anita Wong, at the customer at the shop who tasted the ice cream, much shaped like a penis, and experienced tear gas at the process, told the news that the flavor made her want to drink water right away.
So she had PTSD just from eating the ice cream.
Thank you, asshole. Now I remember the time I lost my brother. Korean soccer team apologizes for sex dolls in the stands.
Were they trying to get more people in the stands?
Oh, we have people. I just didn't see it because the number was there. This is great. So I've been this weekend. Some professional live sports happened. Right, they had the auto race. Right, the Dartmouth was it? Dartmouth, I think it was Raceway. But in Germany, they brought back professional soccer, the Bundesliga, which is pretty good. Pretty good.
Ja.
Yeah, and but there's no fans, so it's actually even this the fans make the game. Like when you hear the cheering, it's like it keeps that link. Because when you watch even professionals playing with no fans, you're almost like going, "What am I watching?" Like,
it's, did you watch any of that those clips from WWF with no audience?
No,
it looks like a soap opera.
Yeah,
it is ridiculous.
It's really weird. Something like that, you got to somehow shoot. You got to figure out how to shoot it camera wise.
I saw during one of the women's matches that when they went to commercial break, they actually stopped wrestling and started just chatting, and they came back early and they weren't wrestling again. They were just standing there chatting. I'm like, ladies, you ever stop talking?
Yeah, thank you, Tim. Tim says the back of the other show story. The guy made the landing like a dart. I wish you said it much better, by the way, Tim. Thank you.
The people in the stands, like, there's nobody in the stands. They just put people in mannequins and sex dolls.
Sex dolls. We're not talking about like the blow up ones with the big mouth that looks like. No, we're talking about the $10,000 ones.
Totally fuckable. Yeah.
Well, they got clothes on and
that's
stuff.
That's the only fuckable soccer for fans.
Yeah. a professional soccer team in South Korea apologized after the mannequins used to fill the seats during the game were identified as sex dolls. And some were a little offended because they were called a whore by the guy who's had her for the last 2 years.
Who identified it?
FC Seoul apologized in an Instagram post Sunday after fans watching the K-League recognized some of those broads. Some observers said the banners held by the dummies appeared to be references to adult websites.
Well,
who do you think provided
marketing?
Who do you think brought the talent? I mean, you know, that's something like, what do you want? You know, they're trying to make something happen. They're trying to make something better. So let them get a little money out of it. I mean, that's getting wear and tear. Who's going to want to take that Asian sex doll now that it's got confetti and popcorn all over it?
And who knows how many of the people that work at that stadium have had their way with it?
Yeah. The FC Seoul said the dolls were intended to compensate for the lack of fans.
They compensated all
right. That's right. And the whole team got to bang them. Mm-hmm. The winning team got to have sex with the fans.
Even the losing team was kind of a winner.
Yeah. It's a win-win situation.
No losers at that game.
That's right. How are we doing on time, Bill? I like doing that like I actually have a like a producer.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bill.
In the booth, Bill.
Bill.
How we doing?
Back to you. All right, well, that's good. I seem to have lost my
marbles
story.
Oh.
Maybe I'll just refresh the page. There we go. World's shortest man regains the crown.
He got shorter?
After previous Guinness record holder dies.
Oh.
Oddly enough, he was hanging out in the house in Canada.
Hanging?
Watching a guy jerking off in his house, and an airplane, Air Force guy, hit him.
Everybody was hanging in the house, meaning he was trying to hang from his feet and be taller.
Yeah, he was hanging from the ceiling fan. The world's shortest living man regained the Guinness Book World Record this week after previously recorded holder died in January. Colombian Edward Nino Hernandez, 34, was presented with the official certificate on Wednesday when somebody can find the little fuck because nobody can see him in the capital of Bogota alongside his family and 14 drug dealers. He stands 2 feet, 4 inches tall, much like my penis, indicating a growth spurt. He was measured at 2 feet, 3 inches tall when he first claimed the record in 2010. Boy, at this pace, he'll be 2'6 by 2029.
Was there any foul play suspected that he put a hit out on the other guy?
Yeah, like how that, you know, what happened? Like, you know, the Oompa Loompa squad came.
He told Hillary Clinton that he had some dirt on him.
The midget mafia. Kahendra Thapa Margar of Nepal previously held the record at 2 feet, 2 inches. He suddenly died in January. We have unknown causes, but they say.
He jumped out of a basement window.
Yeah, but they say he was complaining about the Chinese Wuhan disease. Hernandez, who celebrated his birthday Sunday, was diagnosed with hypothyroidism, a condition in which the thyroid glands don't produce enough crucial hormones to make you a tall fuck. I use my smile to conquer the world, he said. I always share my big smile with everyone. That's my charm. Quote, I can achieve everything. Can't dunk a ball, dummy. I set my mind to everything is possible. Size and height don't matter.
Except when you need something off the top of the refrigerator.
Yeah, except when you got to get on a roller coaster. That's entertainment, bastards.
When a woman tells you, I need you to go up on me.
Here's our last story of the day. In a time like this, you got to find ways to make money, and harsh realities in life force some people to have to do things. Like, I remember in the late 70s when it was really bad, I remember our good friend down the street, one of our neighbors, was an electrician, and the only way he can get work was by going to, like, Texas. So he had to move to Texas. He had to go to Texas and work while his wife and family were here in Florida, because that was the only place to get work. So at least, A, there was work, but B, it was not very seamless, you know, to the family. So it's good. You know, you have to be resourceful nowadays. You know what I mean? Yeah. But here's a story. I make 5,000 pounds a month. That's in English. That's probably about 7,800. No, pounds is it's only about six, seven, maybe seven grand. A month with photos of my feet. These are weird requests. There are people with foot fetishes. Oh, yeah.
Is
right?
this a woman?
Yes.
Because no guys are making money off their feet pictures.
I wouldn't hope so.
Yeah.
If not, I'm going to...
Me and my big old fucking hobbit
I'm
feet.
I'm going to start putting my big old Fred Flintstone feet. I had some pictures on Facebook where I did that, where I was showing a picture of me watching TV and some people commenting on my big toes.
Yeah.
You know what that means, by the way, ladies? Sweet Arches gets up to 100 messages every day with requests for photos for her feet. No more tits. Let me see your feet. And many fans also send her presents and tips, but she claims it's not as easy as it looks. Well, in some of these photos, she has her tits in the background. Sometimes in some of these photos, she has her tits in the background. So, can you take some more pictures of your feet with your boobs?
Her head? How does she got her tits in the background?
She's got it under, like, she's in the front seat of her car, so she has it in front of her, and it's taken from the dashboard.
Isn't there like a thing in Japan where like you can buy like women's underwear out of a vending machine?
Yeah, yeah. Lenny Travis said that a long time ago on our podcast. Oh, really? Yeah, we talked about it. I didn't believe it, and I just found out about it just like that.
Mm-hmm.
A medical student who makes $5,000 a month selling photos of her feet online says she devotes 6 to 10 hours a day making them look aesthetically pleasing.
She does makeup on her feet?
She does that by walking on her hands all day. She cannot. Her hands look like shit. Using the working name Sweet Arches. Not a bad name. Think about food, right? Almost like a McDonald's reference.
Better than chafed heels.
Right. The 28-year-old is funding her studies with her unusual sideline job, but warns it's far from easy way to make a buck. Now, I think good. All right? Anything.
Good for you. Whatever.
No, it's a lot better than, you know, blowing a guy, selling drugs, being a stripper. I don't want to demean stripping, but you know what I mean? What's worse? Would you rather your daughter was a stripper or made money selling pictures of her feet?
A picture of her feet, definitely. She can go on OnlyFans.com and start a tag named Hammer Toe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Why not? Admitting to having a food fetish herself, Sweet gets up to 100 messages a day with unusual photo requests. Hey, can you take a Hey, listen, since I got kicked in the nuts so much, can I take a picture of your foot going into my nuts?
I think they do like these things where they like step on stuff like Play-Doh or something and it squishes between their toes.
Oh yeah,
yeah. For some reason, people love that.
Yeah, do you ever see those skinny dudes that love to have big fat women roll on them?
Oh yeah, like face sitting.
Oh my god!
Like a scrawny guy, like the kid from what was it, Euro Trip?
Oh, they got the funniest shit. They got these little guys and they got these big old heifers. On
just
top of these dudes
face.
Just rolling all over them. I'm like, oh my God. That's brutal.
That's some kid that wasn't hugged enough.
Breath on a minor, no matter what age, before happy ending with plastic. Thank you, Terry Gillespie, the rubber faced man. Yeah, right. Your penis wouldn't touch the ground if you were laying on your stomach. Thanks, Tim. I'm just wondering how you think to know what my penis looks like. I got to keep my windows shut. The strangest requests were from someone asking me to run him over in my car. I said, absolutely not. That's definitely the craziest thing I've ever used. Besides, you're not my dad, and you're not teaching me how to park the F-150. Working in a hospital, I thought that would be quite counterproductive. Some fans like self-foot worship, where I play with my feet on camera.
Mm. Never sucked on your own toes?
No.
No? You could make millions. Give it a try.
I have sucked a woman's toes while we're going at it, and they seem to really love that. You know?
Did you continue pursuing that, or you're like, that's one and done for me?
I didn't stick around with that one too long. You know,
was this the same one you went down on and had to dive back up?
No. That was a one time. That was the deal breaker. That was the deal breaker that one night. That nasty snatch. She was a stripper. Good looking girl, Puerto Rican girl, big like running like track legs. You know what I mean? I was so happy. I was like, this is gonna be great. And then. Holy shit, who let the dogs out?
What is this, jerk chicken?
Ugh. Ugh. Any rate, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I want to thank Brett Morris for joining us today.
Thank you. And had a great time, guys.
It's been fun. And by the way, we'll be back next week at a normal time, 6 o'clock, unless we change it. If you are our board tomorrow, I'm going to be on Dose of Dougie on my Instagram Live at 9 o'clock. And I'm going to think, I think Wednesday I have... I got Jay Bliss, very funny comic out of North Carolina, South Carolina, very funny guy. He's going to be with me this week. And, God, who I have on Friday? I'm trying to remember now. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys about it. If you don't follow me on Instagram, follow me at Dougie Dangerous. It's a lot of fun. We talk for about an hour, shoot the shit until Instagram kicks us off. Do follow us on Twitter here on the show at Wake Up Dougie. Follow us on Instagram at Wake Up Dougie Show. And, you know, by the way, go to our Patreon page, which is on our main site on Podbean, wakeuplatewithdougieshow.podbean.com. Go on the main site, go on the right, look for our Patreon button, click, donate $1 a month, $2 a month. If you watch us on Facebook Live, oh, look at all you cheap bastards running off.
Yeah, it supports me having a Gatorade.
Yeah, the Gatorade, all that foot fetish pictures. So I got to keep paying for that chick in England. So, go to our Podbean site. It's a Patreon page. Go to it. Donate $1 a month, $2 a month. Make a flat donation. We appreciate it, guys. Thanks for doing that. Stay well, everybody. Stay safe. And like I mentioned earlier in the show, the world is really going nuts. So be sure to watch yourself at every moment. Look around every corner. Do not be the next victim. Trust me, I wish I could be around all the time so I could watch it happen if it ever happened. But
don't let anybody spit on you.
Not at all, everybody. So God bless, be well, and we'll see you next week right here at the same spot.
Carry to the world, children of the sun.